This morning our scripture reading will be from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin."
Some of you who are probably would have to be older than me may remember a TV show that came on back in the early 50s called This Is Your Life. It was basically a documentary program that was originally created by a man by the name of Ralph Edwards. In this program, the host would surprise his guest and took them through a journey of their lives in front of a live audience. And the program always included appearances from his friends, colleagues, and family. Edwards revised that show again in 1971, and it had a short two-year run period. Now, I don't remember the first of the original This Is Your Life shows because I was only 3 years old when it went off the air. But I do remember the 1971 version of it, but it was boring to me. At 13 years of age, I could care less about that show. But it was a good program, and it was very interesting as it brought to life the personal lives of some of the characters there. This morning, I am going to recreate the program, This Is Your Life. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your life. What we are going to talk about today is your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, Solomon gives us a beautiful explanation of the times of our lives. He begins by writing in verses 1 and 2 by saying, "To everything there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And for each one of us, the time between our birth and our death is the biography of our lives. It is the story of your life and mine. And because it is kept up with by God, nothing will be left out. As when we stand before God in judgment, we will basically recreate the biography of our lives standing before Him. We will begin with our youth. We will move on into our adulthood. And then as we age, we will see our bodies begin to fail as age takes its toll on us as we grow in age." Later on, actually, in chapter 12 of this ecclesiastical reading, Solomon describes some of the different results of aging. He talks about the day when the keepers of the house will tremble. Now, this is talking about the body as it ages and begins to shake and begins to become weak. He talks about the strong men that will bow down. And, of course, this again is talking about aging, physical aging, where we literally become weaker in life. Then he talks about the grinders. It says the grinders cease because they are few. Do you know what that's talking about? Our teeth. How many have had to have dental work already? And maybe even not even have the teeth that's in your mouth or yours. We don't know. But this is what he's talking about here. Then he mentions looking through the windows that grow dim. He's talking about our eyesight. A lot of us are wearing glasses this morning. I've been wearing mine since I was about 27 years old. Then he talks about the almond tree as it begins to gray and lose its leaves. And this is talking about the hair. So it's in a beautiful way, really, he's talking about man as he goes through life. But then it's interesting that in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, he says this, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it." Here it is. Life is short. It seems like only last week I watched my bride come down the aisle at the church to be married to her. Just a few days ago, I was at the hospital watching my daughter be born. Minutes later, it seems, I was back watching my son be born. Life goes by so fast. My children can now say that they have lived more time in Georgia than they have in the place that they were born. I have now worked in Georgia longer than I worked when I was living in Alabama. And that seems like yesterday too. The times of our lives. You know, as we write the story of our lives, we find that we can just use a few pages to do so because the times of our life is short. And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to use different pages to describe our life as we go through it. So here we go. First of all, we have page one. If you'll notice, page one is a white page. This white page represents purity. This is the condition of a person's soul at birth. Scriptures teach us that the child is born sinless. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we need to understand that sin is not inherited. Many religions will teach that we receive the sins of our forefathers, even going all the way back to the sin of Adam. Well, that is not true, and Ezekiel bears this out in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, where he says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." So we do not inherit sin from our fathers. A child enters into this world sinless. He is not a depraved sinner bringing on this earth with him the sins of his ancestors. So the first page of every one of us is white. Unfortunately, sometimes These children leave this world before leaving their childhood stage. So their entire lives tells a white story. But we grow, and we become knowledgeable, and we become accountable, and we enter the next page. If you will look at this page, we will find this page is black. Where you see this black page represents sin. Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." At the age of accountability, we become responsible for ourselves. When we learn to be able to know the difference and accept the differences between right and wrong, we become responsible for ourselves. Now, in doing so, there are basically two types of sin that take place in someone who is living the black page. First of all, there is the sin of commission. These are things that you do that are wrong. These are violations of law, of God's law. And John called it, in 1 John 3 and verse 4, he calls it lawlessness. It's when you do these things that you should not. It means to trespass. It means to go beyond the law. And Paul gives us a long list of these things in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We won't read that this morning. We're very familiar with this passage. But he gives us a list of things that will fall under living in the black page. And these are sins against our fellow man. Sins of commission. And then we have sins of omission, which is simply failing to do the right thing. Now, some people don't even look at this as sin. If you have an opportunity to do something good and you just simply say, well, I'm not going to do that today. We don't look at that as being sin. But the scriptures tell us, James chapter 4 and verse 17 in particular tells us, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When we fail to do something that we should. Now there are basically two ways for this particular sin of omission to be committed. Either it is done ignorantly or it is done deliberately. We talked about that a little bit this morning in our Bible class. Jesus describes both of these situations in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 37. He says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So we find here a difference of those who deliberately do that which is wrong and those who accidentally do that which is wrong. And I know that I'm talking to a group of people, myself included, in this room who have done both. Few stripes for the ignorant. Many stripes for those who knew and chose not to obey. You know, the sad thing about the black page is that most people who walk the face of this earth, this is the last page of their life. They never move forward. They enter into the page, into this world with a white page. But as sin enters into their lives, they go through their lives black. This is a tragic way for man to end his life with no hope before God, no salvation, no chance of changing the color of the page. But there is a third page. And this page is red. This page represents the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, without the blood of Jesus Christ, no one could be saved. Because salvation is something that we cannot give ourselves. It has to come through Jesus and his blood as he gave it his life on the cross. Without the blood of Christ, we cannot be saved. The Hebrew writer tells us, Hebrews 9, verse 22, that according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood. And without shedding of blood, there can be no remission. No remission of sins without blood. Now, the blood of bull and goats, the Hebrew writer also tells us, cannot save us, cannot remove our sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. How do you come in contact with this blood? That's the next question. How do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, Paul gives us the answer in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we come to Jesus Christ, when we obey that blessed gospel, when we set foot on this red page, we receive salvation. And when we come to the red page, we find our page turning again. Now we are back to white. For you see, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It purifies us. It makes us whole. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Your sins have been forgiven. All of that blackness is now gone. It was covered by red. And when it was covered by red, it made you white again, just like you was the day that you were born. Your sins have been washed away. Just as they were for Saul of Tarsus. When Saul of Tarsus came to Ananias in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. You know, he was thinking about, what am I going to do now? He had been blinded for 3 days. He was wondering about his life. And Ananias said to him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. You come to the blood of Jesus through baptism. Saul, you need to do that. We need to do that in order to receive salvation. But you know, the saddest thing about this white page, no one has ever been able to stay white. There's always been something that takes him to the next page, which is black all over again. And that, of course, is sin. Listen to me, friends. If we spot our clean soul with sin, it will once again become dirty. It will once again become filthy and ugly because it is black all over again. You know, if there ever has been a passage in the Bible that destroys this once saved, always saved doctrine, it is 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 20 through 22. Let's read this together. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in other words, we are now Christians, and are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness, than having known it, turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Listen to me, friends. The erring Christian is lost, because he has chosen for his page to turn black. But you know, our story doesn't end here. There is another page. And guess what? It is white. The white page. There is an opportunity for those who have erred from the truth to be forgiven again, and to have their page turned white. Both James and John tells us of this wonderful opportunity. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then James tells us in James chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Some versions say that this is powerful. This is strong. It can remove that sin all over again. And it can. And we need to understand that, yes, we can go through life, even though our page may turn black, we can go to the red page and our page will turn white. And if it turns black again, which in all of our cases it has, we can still be white if we will go back to the Lord. Well, what do you think? I have just told you the story of your life. This story is yours and mine, and it is told by these few pages. For children who do not make it to adulthood, the white page tells their entire story. For adults, we move on in life, and because we are human, our page will turn black. And so many people, far too many people, end their lives with a black page. Some of us have gone on to page 3. We have come in contact with that red page through the blood of Jesus. And because of that, our page has turned white. Because we have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we are at page 4. Unfortunately, we may become marked again with page 5. Which again will turn black. These are the backsliders. These are the erring Christians. These are those who have chosen to blacken their white page with sin. But what we want today, we want our pages white. We want it to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We want the grace of God to cover us. We want that constant cleansing that John talks about in 1 John 1 verse 7. That we can walk in the light of the Lord and we can have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus can cleanse us and cleanse us and cleanse us and keep our page white. That's what we want. We want page 6 when we walk away from our lives. Now, I want you to consider this. The color of the last page will be the page that you will have when you stand before God. It will either be white or it will be black. There will be no opportunity to go back to the red, to be washed once again. You will either stand before God white or black. Remember, you were created white. You were created pure and holy, unspotted from the world. But sin turned you back. And if you sit here today with that black page because you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to come today in submission to God's will, believing on Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as God's Son, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Come in contact with that red page. And let the blood of Jesus turn your page white. And Christian friend, if you have taken your white page and if you have blackened it through sin that you have gone back to after giving your life to the Lord, you need to go back to that red page. Let that blood of Jesus cleanse you all over again so that you can be white. So that you can stand before God in judgment with a white page. And the white page will be received into heaven. Oh, we want that so badly. So this morning, my friends, if you're sitting here with a black page, change it. Make your page white. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.